Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
How to get out of an awkward situation with your Apple Watch.
I thought you almost thought you were going to say with your co-host. And I'm going to show you how you can bring plants back into your life.
And calm down.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Slide Belts, high-quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. If you want a better belt, go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code TWIT for 20% off. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. iOS Today time, the show where we get together each and every Tuesday to talk about the Apple Watch, the Apple phone. I have it here somewhere.
I think we should start calling it the Apple phone.
Well, it's not just the iPhone 10. It's not just the iPhone 8. It's the iPhone 7, the 6. Probably not a lot about the 5. Very little about the 4. Mm-hmm. Almost never about the 3. So, yeah, the Apple phone. That's what's in this box.
Yes.
And the Apple TV and our little favorite, iPad. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
Are you ready today? We're going to do something that's going to be a little bit of a challenge from a technical perspective. Mm-hmm. We are going to show the smallest of the screens today. We're going to talk about the Apple Watch. And so I have to really hold my wrist just right so you can see. Let's start by which face do you like and why?
Okay. I like the analog face. Is that what it's called? Or the,
one called Info. I don't know if that's the one.
This one is not analog, but it's, I forgot what it's called.
Modular. Is that modular?
It's the one that has all these
that's
different
modular.
Options.
Yeah, that's the one I like. See. I use modular too. Yeah, because modular, look how many, these little things are called complications. These little things, look how many complications. It's basically all complications. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All of them configurable. And that makes it really kind of nice. Actually, it says just 5. I guess the time doesn't count. So there's 5 complications. That means you can have a lot of little buttons on your face. Mm-hmm. And that makes the watch quite useful. There's one other face that I think is, but although that's appropriate, she knew I was going to talk about her. That isn't on all of the Apple Watches, is it? It's the Siri face. Mm. I can't remember if it's only Series 3 watches. But the Siri face is a funny one because it only has one complication. But it took me a while to figure this out. It puts information on here, which you can read through by scrolling the crown. So it is, and you can configure what information you see there somehow. I guess not. I guess this is only the complication. If you use an Apple Watch, do you use your complications? You really ought to. It's what makes a watch face useful. Then there are those watch faces. Oh, and one more tip. Notice I don't have a lot of watch faces here. You can go into the app and delete watch faces you don't use a lot. And that way you don't have to slide around too much. And anytime you want to re-add it, you just press the plus button and you can see all the different fun watch faces Apple offers. I'm surprised you don't use the activity digital face.
Well, I normally have the workout as one of my complications.
Yeah.
So that's why, because I don't, and I do have the activity and workout as one of my complications. So you can change that. And
yeah, complications are really key. Yeah, I never really am sure which complication to put on there. That's one thing modular really helps you with. But you're right. The number one app that should be on there probably is activities, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, because I don't need to see it big. I have other complications. So I have the activity there, so I can just tap that and see how behind I am on all my rings and see how Renee is ahead of us all there. Renee at 4,000 steps already.
That's because he's a Pokemon Go player.
But I can also start a workout that way too. So
well, that's this is the face I usually use, which is a utility face, because I like analog. Also, utility in a way does give me more complications because date is part of it. So you know, it's like a day-date calendar. But see, I have the workout complication there because I very often want to start my workout and I don't want to spend a lot of energy digging through the things to do it. And remember, a lot of the things like, say, Apple Pay, you just double tap down here, are available without going through a complication. I have workout. I have my calendar. That shows my next event. And then I really, as everybody knows by now, I put drafts on everything because that's how I remember that I promised you to do something or make it, you know, like if I'm at the dentist and I have to remember, you know, dentist appointment Thursday at 5 p.m. I press that little microphone. Drafts, you know, it's too bad. The guy who did drafts decided, is it Agile Tortoise? Decided to do a new version that's paid and it's not as good. For instance, well, that complication used to always launch, just start recording right now.
Oh.
Because what else are you going to do? Now it doesn't. And there's maybe there's a setting, I don't know, that I'm not
using. What if you accidentally press it? You wouldn't necessarily want to, you know, you could, spy or something.
The whole thing about drafts, which is awesome, is really you're just dumping stuff into there. And then when you get to your iPad or iPhone, you can use drafts. Why don't I have drafts in my dock? I'm surprised I don't. You can go through your drafts. There it is. And
change the color too.
Yeah, I don't like the new drafts. I'm a little peeved. He had a perfect thing. It hasn't synced yet. Drafts 5. I would go back to drafts 4 if I could.
Drafts 4.
Yeah, stay with drafts 4. And I'm sorry, but that's sometimes people do that. They go, oh, I really needed it. So for instance, that draft has not hit my inbox yet. I don't know why not, but eventually it'll be in my inbox, and I can process it by sliding things over from the. Right here, so I can add it to a to-do list. I can send it as a text. I can tweet it. I can blog it. You've seen this before, but drafts is a way to quickly, I think of it as a way to quickly dump information, especially with the watch. It's really useful that way, but it also can be done on the phone or the iPad. Dump information into a space where it's safe until you want to then handle it somehow. Add it to a calendar, put it on a to-do list. So sometimes, you know, somebody will recommend a book and I'll just use drafts. They'll say, oh, don't forget to read that. And then I can add it to my to-read list. So drafts is a really handy complication on the watch.
Okay, well, here's another really handy complication that I use, and that's IFTTT.
If this, then that.
If this, then that. So I have it right here in the corner here. And let's say, I mean, I have all of my if this, then that recipes in here. It's that little white one right there. But the most useful one is, like, say I'm having a conversation with, I don't know, Leo, and it's getting a little awkward and I want to get out of it.
Call the police.
I just tap there and then I just tap that button. Hopefully, I think I've done this enough times before that I can.
It's going to call the police?
It is not going to call the police.
What's it going to do?
It's going to call me. So that
phone rings?
Yes.
And then you say, oh, Leo, hold on a second. I think I have to take this call.
Right. And I was hoping, you can show the phone number. It's not a real phone number. I was hoping it would ring on my iPad so you could listen to it. But
that's really cool.
Let's listen to it on the speaker. And I say,
this is an automated call from my IFTTT to get you out of this awkward situation. To give the appearance of a longer conversation, this message will keep going. You can hang up at any time. It's unfortunate that you had to use this, but in truth, everyone runs into awkward situations.
And then you go, yeah.
Thankfully, you have this outlet to get you out of it, though.
Sorry.
This message will now repeat.
Just one thing you really want to not do?
Put it on
speaker. Maybe you do. Maybe that's a hint.
So, I love that right there. You can.
That's really cool. Now, can you have an individual action as a complication, or you can only have the generic IFTT?
I'm sorry, I called myself again.
That worked on the iPad
that time. Yeah. So if I press it, then I have this one.
You
but
could
then I can
scroll through
all of mine.
But
so.
You can't assign one particular one to a complication.
I don't think so. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not easily. So I have all of mine here, but...
that's close enough.
Yeah, that one is just... That's the one I set. So you can...
And you can make that one first, so it's...
Yes.
You could do it surreptitiously in your pocket.
Exactly. If I want to email myself... I forgot what that IFTT was, but it's something about emailing myself something. Like drafts, probably. Like email yourself a note. Let's see what that one is. Let's email myself.
You could actually use that button as a drafts type button and just say, take a note, take a note, take a note,
yeah.
take a note.
And I emailed myself. So maybe if email is the way that you, if you don't have your phone around and you can say, oh, I got this email, I got to check it. So that just emails you. So whatever IFTTT, which is basically anything,
right.
you can have it on your watch.
See, I really want to take off my watch to show you stuff. But of course, as soon as I do, I can't. So I better, or can I? Can I unlock it and
you
then continue
it
to
and
use
then
it?
Continue, as long as you hold, it has to be touching some skin. So usually you can
okay.
hold your fingers.
Don't look at my passcode. Because that, you know why they have that? Because my wallet's in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way, I found that initially I didn't use Apple Pay very often. But in the last couple of weeks, I've used it a number of places. Not so much for my groceries or at the drugstore, but I was buying a backpack, a fairly expensive backpack for our trip, and I noticed that the lady had an Apple Pay thing, and I said, "Oh, that's great! I'd rather use that than give you a credit card and go through all that rigmarole." And she said, "Yeah, I'd prefer that too," and it was so nice and easy. So, and then and there was another time I just recently used Apple Pay, so I found that I'm using Apple Pay more, and maybe that's because I see more touch to pay terminals. So that's good news. It doesn't have to be an Apple Pay specific. It just has that little weird touch to pay thing.
I love using it.
Yeah. Do you use it all the time?
I use it wherever. Like I use it at
wherever
Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
All the grocery stores take it. Whole Foods.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Petaluma Market.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of places don't even necessarily know that they take it. Like you'll ask them and they'll say, I don't know. And then you just hold it up to the.
Yeah, they almost all have touch to pay now.
Yeah.
So that's the key. We were talking about iOS 12 and Apple mentioned that now podcast app on the phone is going to be on the Apple Watch. But we also pointed out, well, you don't have to wait until then because many podcast apps already have a phone, watch interface, including my favorite Pocket Casts.
That's my favorite too. That's
yeah.
my other complication.
Oops. This is one of our sponsors, Lighthouse. This is, by the way, a really nice feature. If you have a camera, a doorbell, if you have something that is monitoring your home, I'm getting a notification that somebody unknown is wandering through my house.
Really?
And there's which it's not very usable, but you see, I am getting a picture mm-hmm. of that. The Ring will do that. The Nest Cam will do that. And this is the Lighthouse, which is one of our sponsors. We'll do that. But let me get out of that because that was not what I was wanting to do. I was wanting to show you. Whoops, let's go back. Pocket Casts. So nothing is playing. It's so peaceful. I was listening to a podcast earlier. But you can look at Now Playing, Up Next, New Releases, Unplayed Audio. So you don't have to take out your phone if you want to see, well, what do I have on my phone that I could listen to? Unfortunately, it does have to download that information from the phone. As you can see, the Apple Watch is still a little slow with that. But here's some podcasts that I subscribe to. And if I wanted to listen to The Daily right now, the New York Times news podcast, oh, somebody else is in my house, I could do that right now through Pocket Casts. I think that is really great. And if you don't want to wait until Apple adds that feature to its own podcast app, I think Pocket Casts is a little bit better anyway.
I love it.
This is a great one to have on your watch.
So, question. Sometimes when I'm stopped at a stoplight and I don't like the podcast that I'm listening to, I will do this and change it. What do you think about that in terms of safety?
Well, only do it when you're stopped at a stoplight. And in fact, it still counts in California. You should check your state laws as looking at your phone. And people have received, and they're fairly hefty tickets. Mm. I do note that the California Highway Patrol doesn't seem too anxious to enforce the texting while driving law mm-hmm. because every time I come to a stop, I look at all the other drivers. Every one of them is going like this.
Yeah.
And you're not even, you know, at least if you're at a stop sign. Although I know somebody who got a ticket because she was doing that. The light went green. She didn't mm-hmm. move. You can get a ticket for that as well.
Yeah.
So pay attention when you're driving. I do think it's a little less bad to do it on your watch, especially if you've got the Pocket Cast face right there and you can just pray.
Yeah. So here, I'll hold
play
my
next
watch
one.
Too. What I do is I have a starred list. So all of these podcasts
right.
are here so that when one finishes, it'll just go to the next. But if I get tired of listening to one, Like the screensavers, we went on and on. I'm just kidding. It was a great episode.
Megan was on last
and week. Then I can just go to the next one. So I really like that. And it's super easy, too, if you were, I mean, I'm not recommending that you do this while you're driving, but you can, I got another voicemail for myself, I think. Like you can just press hard to start it, or you can do play next, or play the last one. So you can go just
hard press. I think Apple will be hard pressed to catch up with what Pocket Cast can do on the Apple Watch.
No pun intended. And the reason I like, because I'm not down here. I'm up here. I can still see.
It's not such a big deal. You're looking and you've got your hand on the wheel and you just go like yeah. that. I think that's not too bad. By the way, if you're listening to music, an audiobook, whatever you're listening to, the Apple Watch will reflect that and mm-hmm. give you the chance to pause it. Or skip or things like that. Let me real quickly mention something and actually ask you something. If you go into the Apple Watch app on your iPhone, that's where you control all this stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the settings is to automatically install apps. It's right there under General. Mm-hmm. Do you have that on or off?
I have it on.
So whenever you get a new iPhone app, if there's an Apple, and it's not always the case, but if there is an Apple Watch component, it'll install it. I do the opposite. I have it off. And the reason, one of the reasons is with the Apple Watch, I have to unlock it again. With the Apple Watch, the interface, besides the complications, you know, the interface to all of the different apps you have installed is ungainly at best. Now, I don't use that really little tiny dot one. That's mm-hmm. completely unusable. Fortunately, Apple, in an update not so long ago, added the ability to at least have a scrollable list. At least I can see what I have. The cloud is no good. But I want to keep that list as short as I can. So I don't have automatic app install. But every once in a while, I'll check through apps that are installed, remove apps that I don't use. These are all the ones I have currently installed. And then take a look at stuff that I have on the phone that I haven't installed on the watch and say, well, are there any of these that I would like to have? Maybe emergency I should have on the... That'd probably be a good thing to have an emergency button on my watch. But that's what I prefer to do. So you like no matter – because part of that is me. I install so many apps that I don't want that – in fact, I periodically will prune through the apps I have installed and say, you know, for instance, I have this cardio app I noticed installed here. This is to remind me to take my blood pressure. I haven't done that in a while, so I'm just going to take that off of my Apple Watch a little – pruning makes it more useful.
Is that cardio with a Q?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that too. Do you get notifications from them, or were you smart enough?
Every morning I have it, take your blood pressure.
Mine says weigh yourself.
Yeah.
I think it was like a scale and a blood pressure thing that we tried a while ago. Yeah.
So, yeah, that might be, you know, am I going to do my Hue lights on my watch? I might, actually. That's kind of, I should show you that because that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
We don't have Hue lamps in the studio, so it won't do anything. But if you're in range of your Hue lights at home or wherever you are, you can create widgets in the app under settings that you can then trigger. So I can merely raise my watch, hit the Hue. I could even make it a Hue complication and say, let's dim the lights, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Date night.
Yeah.
Close the curtains. Dim the lights.
Yeah.
Turn on romantic music. Rotate the bed. All of that stuff.
As long as your partner has the equal get yourself out of the awkward situation and gotta take this call, you can move the bed.
Oh, again? Every time.
So speaking of automation, the Home app is one of my favorites too, because I have HomeKit and
sure.
Every day I'm getting more smarter, sort of.
Every day I'm
getting more smarter.
Getting more
every
smarter.
Day. So here's my Home app, and I can actually unlock, or I can lock my door at home. It's unlocked.
That's
my
really
husband and
neat.
Dog. Our home, but so
that
I
would
just
surprise
the
them, huh?
Yeah, I did that yesterday.
You locked the
dog
them out?
Barks like crazy. I'll probably get a text message from my husband
in a
second.
Oh boy,
and it says,
what are you doing? What
locked.
Are you doing here?
So, all the things that I have, so I have this LifeX light that I've set up, and I could start my HomePod if I really wanted to scare my husband. I could start my HomePod. Why not do that? Why not start playing it?
Oh, poor Marco. He already doesn't like technology.
No,
you're
really
just
doesn't.
Making him hate
so,
it even more.
I'll turn it off. And it's true. I am. You know, I wanted to go back to what you said about Apple Pay because I answered a question that my dad had, which I'm always thrilled to know more than, everyone's always thrilled to know more than their father. He said that all of a sudden his Apple Watch was showing cash instead of his credit card. Whenever he was trying, it was just Apple Pay cash. It was just showing that, and he didn't understand
why.
That's
the new thing they added, which allows you to pay people
cash
through Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm. And so what I figured out was that he just upgraded. He had the Series 0 or the first watch, and he finally upgraded because if you're not going to get the next update to the Apple Watch if you have the Series 0. So he finally updated. And Apple won't just take your credit card from your phone. You have to, when you get a new Apple Watch, you have to re-add
them. Oh, he hadn't added any.
Yes. And so, and you have to do that in the phone. You can't do that in the watch. You have to do it in the phone. And also, after that, cash was still showing up first.
Right.
So you go in, and then you know, you have to move them in the watch app on the phone in your wallet app. So not yours, just your regular wallet app, but your wallet app within the watch app with on your iPhone.
Wow.
That is not necessarily self-explanatory, but...
We did mention that the work... Remember, we talked about the workflow app last week, and you were just talking about if this, then that... The reason I asked if you could have an if this then that task as a complication is you can with workflow.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I think you did that. Mm-hmm. If you have a specific workflow you just launch all the time, mm-hmm. like I'm going to be late.
or text Leo to ask him where he is.
Yeah. You could have a complication right on the watch face that just you just press that and it does it using workflow. And I imagine as Siri suggestions. And shortcuts, which is the new name for workflow in iOS 12, as that becomes widespread, that's going to really be something interesting. It almost makes me wish I had a something in between complications on the face and that long menu so that I could, like, maybe an intermediate screen that I could swipe to that would have a few of the things I use the most, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could swipe right and a few of the things. Apple, please, because more and more, you know, I am finding there are applications I do all the time. You might notice, for instance, that I have all the airline apps on here. When you're traveling, it's really handy to have the airline that you travel with and have their app on the phone for a couple of reasons. You can actually use the QR code for your ticket. If I had it says countdown begins 24 hours before departure. If I had an upcoming flight on this airline, it would show me a countdown. I could have my ticket on my watch, and very often you can just scan your watch when you go in to check into the flight. It can also do other things like remind you to leave on time and stuff, depending on the airline. So I absolutely, if you've got a trip coming up, you're going to definitely want to add the airline that you're using. Almost all of them have apps, and most of those apps work on the Apple Watch.
Another app that we both really like that's super easy is the Heart Study app.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do anything. It's just you agreeing to be part of this heart study that Apple's putting on. And then if you have an Apple Watch, you can do this.
But you do have to add that to your watch if you're going to participate, right? Because the watch is what's measuring your heart.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. You just download the app on your iPhone and it'll automatically, you know, it'll ask you to add it to your watch. And so not to be confused with heart rate, heart study. So please go to the... Okay, so here is my statistics. I've been in the study for 140 days.
Wow,
that's
neat.
And then I can go to the iPhone for more information. It's not really going to tell me anything about my health, but it's...
But somebody is getting, you know, the information that they need...
Right.
And you have to start the Heart Study app on your phone and set that all up after you install it. Heart rate, you mentioned that, and that's, I think, by default on all your watches, and that's really cool. It shows your current heart rate, your resting rate, if it's been able to measure that. And here's mine. It says walking average, and my heart rate is as I'm actually moving. And I think that is, by itself, that's information you would probably like to know. Your resting heart rate, the lower, the better. Elite athletes sometimes are in the 30 and 40 beats per minute. I'm very happy I can get mine around 60. That seems pretty good for an old man like me. But that's a good indicator of health. Your current heart rate, right now I'm highly stressed, so it's high, 84. And the walking average for me is a little too high, I think 101 beats per minute. But that's I think that's a very handy little diagnostic. Since the Apple Watch is measuring your heart rate pretty regularly.
Yeah, mine's 51 resting rate.
Nice.
Walking average 88.
See, you're in much better health than I am.
I'm much younger than you. I'm like 40 years younger than you. In my heart.
I've mentioned this before. I think it's been some time, though. There's an app that I really like called Just Press Record. Yes. And I'll pull it up here on the iPhone because it's handy just by itself on the iPhone. There's a big red button to start recording. But what's really cool is there's also an Apple Watch version of Just Press Record, and you can even make it a complication. So, and believe it or not, the microphone on the Apple Watch is decent. Mm-hmm. So if you want to record me harassing you, for instance, mm-hmm. just put that as a complication right there, press the button, and it records. It records the watch and then copies it over. Here, I'll show you. It copies it over to the phone after a little bit of time. Just Press Record is a very nice app. I use it, you know, journalists, I think, like it because I could do an ad hoc interview. The phone microphone is really good enough to do a radio interview with. But I think even the Apple Watch, if something big is going on and you want to run over, I'm standing here in front of the flaming, burning building that used to be Twit. And, you know, like that. So, and then I recorded all of that. And it will eventually, you see, it shows my recordings. And I could play it back on the watch. I don't know how well it'll... Yeah, it's not very loud. On the watch. But see how it copied over here?
Right. And if you were somehow to perish in that fire, or if...
I'd have a recording of me perishing.
It would, or if someone stole your Apple Watch.
Right.
Let's think about that. You're not going to perish in the fire.
No, but this so it goes to the phone, and you saw how quickly it went over. And they even now have a transcribe feature, which is handy. So I think Just Press Record is, there are a lot of different apps to record on the iPhone and iPad, but this is a great one if you want to be able to have quick recording on your Apple Watch. It has a little complication and everything.
Yeah, and it'll go to iCloud if you have it set up.
I think so it goes up to the iCloud, yeah, so I can see it everywhere now.
Yeah, even if someone stole your Apple Watch,
right,
you'd have it.
Right. So you see, I actually have other recordings on my watch. Here's an hour and five recording from New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
Wow.
Don't play it. We don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Do you think you accidentally recorded something? In which case, play it.
And here's Christmas Eve. That's odd.
Maybe you were testing it.
On New Year's Eve?
Of 2016, is that what it said?
No, this January 1st, 2018, and December 24th, 2017.
Did you do an interview with someone?
I don't think so. Now I really am curious, but I don't want to do it on the air because what if it's incriminating?
It's like the Nixon tapes.
Yeah. I am not a crook. I'm not. Anyway, that's a very handy thing. Just press record.
It's super simple. That's what I love about it. And it's, there's...
$5.
Yep. Worth it. Anything else that you've been using?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I can go on and on. To me, once I started using the Apple Watch every day, as you know I do now, I found it's very useful. I don't find mail so very useful or text messaging so very useful, although I will fairly frequently, if I get a text message, send from the watch a thumbs up or something brief and simple, the heart. But what I do find really useful is Apple Maps. If you use Apple Maps, it's to me the compelling reason to use Apple Maps. And you get, especially if you're walking. When I'm walking, so I'm getting directions to somewhere on my Apple Watch. It shows on the watch, turn left, turn right. The watch will tap you using taptic feedback to say, oh, you got a turn coming up. It's a very unobtrusive way. Instead of staring at your phone as you're walking around, I really like that. It's actually a compelling reason to use Apple Maps for your directions, especially if you're walking around.
That's why I switched back to Apple Maps because for me, driving is very helpful because you don't have to look at the screen. So you can I have two hands on the wheel. Okay, this is the left.
I know some people use this. I don't, but you can, of course, control your camera from the Apple Watch. This would be most useful. See, it's just turned on the camera. If you had a tripod, maybe you want to, maybe you're taking pictures of bears, for instance, and you wanted to shoot some bears. You would put your camera on a tripod, leave it there. Notice you get a live image on the Apple Watch, and then you can either set a timer or press it. You know what it really would be useful for? A family picture. Mm-hmm. You put this on a tripod. Everybody gets on the other side. You look, make sure the picture is well composed. This is kind of what everybody's always wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And then can take the picture. That's a really nice.
I do that all the time.
Do you use this?
Yeah, with the family.
Yeah.
Because it also has a little time, like a little three second timer. So you're not like looking at your watch.
That's probably a good idea. Yeah. But you could also just put it down and surreptitiously tap it.
And I have short arms, so with selfies in groups, I also do that so that you're not
What a good idea.
You know, you have to get your finger on that side button or the front button.
So you might keep that one in your dock.
Yeah, in your dock.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is, you know, somebody was saying, well, you know, there is a way to quickly get to some of these, and that is the dock.
Right, the swipe up.
But I find out, where is it?
Is that what the...
Where is the dock now? Where do they put it? I don't...
It's the side button, the big side button. Just press it once.
Press it once?
Yeah, like
okay.
This.
Press it once. There's the dock.
This.
Okay. Yeah, they changed the dock, and it's taken me a while to kind of get used to it. But you see, I do have the things that I use the most in the dock. So, for instance, we met an Aptiv workout. That's really handy to have a workout in your watch.
If you can download them.
And
you don't even need your phone.
Right, which is really, really cool. There's messages, camera I have in the dock. So, yeah, things that you use a lot. Do you listen to your chill mix on Apple Music? If you do, just tap it. And you can even send it where to play the music. My AirPods. Or if I have some Bluetooth speakers, you might want to send it to.
Well, what's frustrating with that is I want to be able to control while I'm driving, as I said.
Right.
But it only goes to, I haven't figured out how to connect it to my car. Like
here's what it does for me. Usually for me, it's an audiobook. So once I'm listening to the audiobook on my iPhone, I will get a control here. So, yeah, I can't start it from here.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Is that what you want to do? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can stop it and pause it.
And I want to listen to
an
audiobook, and then I have to pick up my phone and tell my phone that I'm not driving,
right.
Even though I might. I'm actually driving.
When I'm doing that, the Now Playing pops up.
Right.
And then I do have some controls, but you're right. You have to start it from your iPhone.
But you can start Pocket Casts from your watch. Which is weird, but you can't start Apple Music because Apple Music automatically goes to
maybe they just
maybe
didn't
I'm
want
doing
to.
It wrong.
Yeah,
but
calendars. That's
what about
a good one.
Remote start on your Tesla. Do you have that app?
No.
So I got an email from Steve. He says that he uses it on Ford.
It's a third party app.
He uses it on his Ford Fusion.
Yeah, yeah.
And so gets
that's something that Tesla has not yet offered.
And Hyundai, maybe I think, offers it. I talked
well,
to, yeah, see, there's, he has start, stop, lock, unlock, and then some fuel and battery.
Yeah, the Tesla app will do that. So I guess, but it doesn't put it on the watch. I guess that's cool.
Yeah, so I talked to Sam Abul Samid, you know, our friend, and he said, he put me in touch with some car makers who also did it. He said that Hyundai does it, and their app is called Blue Link.
Nice.
And then a couple other cars, because I'm hoping to do a longer...
controlling your car with your watch.
Yes. Hoping to delve into that.
Isn't that odd that Tesla doesn't do that?
They don't do it. They don't have a...
No, they have an app, but they don't have a watch interface.
And their app will also now tell you if you're speeding.
Isn't it? Yeah, the app is pretty decent. Mm-hmm. It lets you start the car. You can use Summon, which I've never had the nerve to do.
Yeah.
Which the car comes to you. Not going to do that.
Maybe your next car should be a Hyundai or a Ford.
Probably is. After Elon's recent outburst, I'm kind of skeptical about the future of Tesla. I might, I have a year more on my lease. Mm-hmm.
Well, once you get rid of your Tesla, maybe you won't have to tighten your belt so much.
Oh, is it time? I'm so excited. Brand new sponsor. Oh, I love this. I have we're talking about slide belt. Rethink the belt. You're wearing your slide belt right now.
I am.
I forgot to put mine on. Today, sorry, because I have it on my, relaxed pants. It is my new favorite.
I like it a lot.
Belt. They're high quality. So you've probably had belts where you know there are holes punched into the belt, right? And the hook goes into the belt.
Did you hear me ratchet it?
Yeah.
Then?
The hook goes into the belt, if you punch a new hole, if you lose weight or you gain weight, but this is so much better. This is so much more accurate. It's a patented ratchet design that adjusts precisely to you. 32 ratchets makes it more comfortable than any belt, more effective than any belt you've ever worn. It's such an improvement on the traditional belt because you can remove the buckle and mix and match it with other straps. So this is my slide belt. You can even get them engraved. Can I show you that? Look at that.
Oh.
Isn't that beautiful? So when you get your slide belt, the buckle, it will be separate from the belt. Let me just show you this real quickly. This one is vegan with a gunmetal buckle. They have utility buckles, too. I'll show you that in just a little bit. So this is the ratchet portion of the belt in here, right? And this is the end. Now, you may cut the end. All the belts come the same size. You can just cut off, and you see it's got little marks on the inside. I don't know if you can see that.
It was so easy to cut.
Yeah.
Like, I used pretty regular scissors.
I use kitchen shears.
Yeah.
But you cut it to your waist length. So I cut it mine to 40, but it goes all the way out to 48. And then once you've got it cut, I can actually do it right now. You insert it into here, and you lock it down with the teeth. Whoops, there it is. And then I don't want to do that because I want to be able to continue to demonstrate that, but you'll see that. And then when you're buckling the belt, you slide it in here into the ratchet. Now, what's nice, it's a little easier when it's on your waist. And
you
it's,
want me to take mine off, and then you can show I can show how it works?
No.
Like, leave your belt on,
I don't want to do that. So this is the holder, right? And you go that, and then you close it, and then you just adjust it. You pull it through to where it's comfortable. And by the way, that is not going to slip. That is really a nice, comfortable belt. The wide range of straps, from full grain and top grain leathers to high quality canvas, animal friendly vegan straps. This is the matte black buckle with a black top grain belt here. Look at this. This is a beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? That's if you're like one of those Tesla people as a matte Tesla, you would love that. Here's another one.
Got to match your belt to
this is brass. And this is the canvas. So it's navy canvas, right? So you're going to get a couple, right? And the antique brass. Isn't that pretty?
It is pretty.
Really love the slide belt. It is just awesome. Now, here's one that's really fun. This is the survival belt. Are you ready for this?
I don't think so.
Oh, Dad would like this. Carry less, adventure more. But this has a bottle opener, an LED flashlight, a ferrocerium fire starter rod, and a steel knife in the buckle. You got to see this. Everybody's going to want this. And if you've got a friend, you know, maybe like for a bachelor, you know, this would be really great for a wedding as the groomsmen's gift.
Or see, the brides. They have them for women too, bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah, they have, but you probably don't want to give the bridesmaids knives.
Why not?
Okay, you're right. Why not? We all have our slide belts. It's a great travel belt, easy to take off and on while going through security. Right, it just whips right off, and it cinches back up very easily. If you're not convinced, 1 year warranty, free exchanges, no hassle returns, no obligation. But I think you're going to like this. If you're ready for a better belt, that's the whole point of slide belt. They wanted to make belts better. Go to slidebelts.com/twit, slidebelts.com/twit. And by the way, if you use the offer code TWIT at checkout, you can get 20% off. So if you've got a wedding coming up and you've got gifts for the groomsmen, get each of them the utility belt. That is so, so cool. They call it the survival belt, but I think of it as a utility belt. Slide belts, the code TWIT gets you 20% off at slidebelts.com/twit. I wore my slide belt all weekend while I was Pokemon hunting. It was awesome.
I wore mine on this week's episode of Know How. So that's,
did you show people? Did you show how?
Know How episode, I don't know what. Yeah. No, I didn't show. I just wore it.
We didn't want to tell anybody we were doing this until now. So, but you could say if it's a wedding, you can have it engraved with, you know, a name or something.
Rose gold.
I just love that.
I stand by my great gifts for bridesmaids.
And for bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, belts, really? Really, do you think? They do have them for women. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
The belt is coming back. Like a lot of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like belted skirts, belted dresses. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Slidebelts.com/twit. Use the code TWIT for 20% off. And we thank Slide Belts. I've been trying to get them on for a while. I said, guys, I love this belt. Would you please, please?
iOS 12 developer beta 4 is out. So if you're a developer, you can get that.
That means we'll get it at some point in the next few weeks, right? As a, we're using the public beta, right?
Mm-hmm. So that's we're at public beta 3.
I feel pretty good about the public beta now.
I've had a little bit of crashing on my iPad, but I mean, that's just beta. I don't think that.
But recently?
Yes, I was trying to open some apps today. And,
oh, yikes.
And
I've
you know,
had it,
you,
it's found it to be very reliable.
Beta, yeah. I mean, just little weird things. Like there's this one notification on my settings, and I can't get rid of it, and I don't know. I thought it meant that I had a software update, but I don't. So it's just
one thing still a little bit buggy is we talked on Sunday with Brian X. Chen of the New York Times. He did a great story. He used the what do they call? Yeah, to with a Sophie. Yeah, I think she was 11 or 12.
14. Yes.
And Sophie loved this. Was what I found interesting. Mm-hmm. At first, Sophie was like, "Come on," but he said, "But you'll get to use an iPhone 10 during this process."
Yeah, that was.
And
of
she
course
said,
she
"Oh,
loves it.
Okay," but no, she actually loved screen time, and she said, "Could you turn down? I'm using, I think it was Snapchat. Can you turn it down?" So it's really great. The only thing I find, I turned off downtime. I don't like to be nagged when I'm playing Pokemon Go for the eighth hour in a day, but. I did find that the usage, if you turn it off, just you don't get any usage. Mm-hmm. Like, see, I'm not getting any usage now. I don't know what that is. So I think that's a bug. Brian X. Chen said there are some bugs in that. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was very encouraging. This 14-year-old really liked having limits on how much she could use her phone. And in fact, this was the fascinating thing. Before they started, her phone time per day was double what Brian's was. By the time the experiment ended, she was using her phone less than Brian X. Chen was. Less than 3 hours a day.
Yeah, I need to email him and tell him, Brian, I have some teenagers you can borrow anytime.
Yeah.
You could keep them in San Francisco if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think screen time is going to be maybe the hit of iOS 12.
I haven't. My kids, it's only on our iPads, and, they've gotten pretty used to just, I think in the very beginning, it was very helpful to be notified, but they very quickly got used to those notifications and were just like,
just swipe them away.
More.
Yeah,
more
ignore
time.
This, ignore this. Well, but at least you're getting at least you're getting the limit.
Yeah, at least you're getting notified. And I think when it'll be on their phones, that'll be a little bit different because, I mean, our phones are the things that we really pick up. Without thinking about it, I think.
And he pointed out on Twit on Sunday that you can. So I have a family members, Abby, Michael, and Henry. I can set limits on their phone from my phone. Mm-hmm. So that's nice, and you can set a passcode so that they can't change it and all that. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be really great.
Right, I think so too. I like it. The other huge news is Apple's adding 70 new emoji to iOS 12. If you're watching this on Tuesday, today is World Emoji Day.
Oh my God. Redheads, gingers finally get their fair share.
I think cupcake emoji. You could get in trouble with the cupcake emoji. You got to be careful with that one, I think.
Really? Like if I said, hey, cupcake?
Exactly. send a kangaroo or a lobster instead.
I like the peacock. Mm-hmm. You can send me a peacock emoji anytime.
What about the cabbage? What do you think the cabbage, that, if you...
Well, in France, my petit cochon, right? My little cabbage.
Do you think that's cabbage or is that like
no,
radicchio?
No, that's not radicchio. That I would say that is, what is that?
Romaine?
It's a lettuce of some kind. Yeah. It's not a romaine. Is it kale?
I wish
maybe it's just a generic lettuce. Just vegetable. Is that a mango to the right of that? I think it is.
Yeah. It's a mango.
And then is that a quenelle? What is that? Some sort of weird French pastry and then a cupcake.
Quenelle.
Yeah.
But lots of new faces, cold face, party face.
You never had a quenelle?
I've never had a quenelle.
Oh, don't get started. Quenelles are better than donuts.
Are they?
Oh, my God, yes.
Wow. What is it?
It's just a magical French pastry that has just a little tooth. It's got flaky with crumbs. It's not flake. It's cake. And then they've soaked it in honey or something, so it's
Also, in...
And it looks just like that.
I'm trying not to think of it. I'm doing the whole life challenge again. No desserts. So, I'm not trying to think about your canal.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, desserts aren't a good thing. You're right. But a canal isn't a dessert.
How do you spell canal?
C-A-N-E-L-L-E. See if you can find some canals.
Apple's leadership has all turned Memoji.
That, I think, is just so weird. On their executive leadership page, Tim Cook... None of these look like that much like them.
Well, what's interesting is there's very limited, as we found when we were making your Memoji, there's a lot of limits in the gray hair.
Yeah.
But doesn't, which is, I think that's interesting because there's doesn't seem to be as many limits with the blonde.
Look how much Luca Maestri looks like Jeff Williams. They look the same, basically, right?
Johnny Ive does look exactly like
Well,
himself,
I think so. That's really, at this point, you know, the biggest distinguisher in a Memoji is the hair.
Yeah.
Does that look like Phil Schiller? I don't think so.
Well, I think Johnny Ive looks like him, and I think every bald person with a beard will
probably look like
Johnny
Ive. That's right.
Like he, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of babies looking like Winston Churchill.
I want my Memoji to have Phil Schiller hair, I think.
Yeah.
Big news, World Emoji Day. How are you celebrating? Okay.
Do you think that's just for today and that they'll change it back?
I think so. Yeah. But
Renee has an article about why it's important on imore.com. So we'll ask. There it is.
Oh, canal. Ooh, the emoji looks better than the real thing.
No, those are good. Those are good. Those are little mouth bombs of pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I meant to bring this up last week because it was actually released on Monday, but I thought this would be a nice place to discuss the Surface Go and how you think it might be a threat or not a threat to the iPad.
It's so funny because poor Microsoft, this happens a lot to them. They announce the Surface Go, get a lot of press until then 2 days later, Apple announces the new MacBook Pros, and nobody's talking about the Surface Go at all anymore. Of course, they're completely different markets. Yeah. The Surface Go is aimed right at the iPad at $499, although most people are going to end up buying up and get the next step up, which is $550, just as you do with an iPad, you know. Well, for $550, you get 16 gigs of RAM. You get a real desktop operating system. But one thing about Microsoft's Windows 10 is it is designed for touch, has a fairly useful touch interface. This is small. It's 10 inches, same size as the iPad. Has some features the iPad doesn't have, including the ability to add a micro SD card to add more storage. So the base model is 64 gigs of storage. The next model up is 128 gigs, which is what I bought. I'll get this on August 2nd. We can show it, compare it to the iPad. But I also bought a 256 gigabyte micro SD card for like under $100. So that means storage-wise, it's going to have significantly more even than the top-of-the-line iPad. It doesn't come with a keyboard, mouse, or pen, but it supports all three. And while I think the Apple Pencil on an iPad Pro is better than the Surface Pen on a Surface Go or another Surface. I haven't used a Surface Go yet. I think people are going to, it's close enough. So this is really clearly directly aimed at the iPad. But if people want a full computer instead of the limited iOS computer you get with an iPad, I think the Surface Go is very interesting. I'm guessing it's going to sell well, but I don't know. It also comes in colors.
And the pen matches the color of the Surface Go.
Yes, I have I got the, what do they call the red? I don't remember. Burgundy maybe, but wine. I got the burgundy and I have the burgundy pen. It is beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the type cover with Alcantara. This will be very interesting to see how this does. I think it's aimed at a couple of different markets, not just the education market where the iPad, you know, it competes with Windows. The number one tool in education is a Chromebook. So I guess you could say it's aimed at a Chromebook as well. But they also pitch it for business, what they call first line workers, people in customer service, people who don't need a big computer that maybe want to have something they can hold in their hand. And so that's another market that Microsoft sees for this. I think a school that is buying iPads right now might actually look at this as a little bit more flexible choice. It comes with Windows S, which is, like the iPad, limited to the Microsoft Store. Unlike the iOS Store, the Microsoft Store is not very good. But you can, for free, turn on Windows 10 Home, which means you can download apps from anywhere. Battery life is probably not going to be as good as the iPad. They're claiming 9 hours, which on the face of it is not as good as the iPad. But I've always found that Microsoft's a little bit ambitious with their battery life figures. Maybe cut that in half. So instead of the 10 hours you get on the iPad Pro, you're probably going to get 4 or 5. What else? Otherwise, I think it's fairly comparable. There are going to be LTE versions that, you know, use the cellular data network, but those aren't out yet. And do people buy those now on the iPad? I have a feeling people don't, that they just hotspot their phone in most cases and say, look, I already have a data connection on my phone for the times I'm going to use it. I'll probably just connect to the phone. But if you do it all the time, then maybe you'll want it. Mm-hmm. It is a real Intel processor. We're not sure how fast it is, though. It's called the Pentium Gold.
We'll see.
We'll have to benchmark it. We'll get it August 2nd. You could pre-order it now. I think it's very interesting.
You know, if people are thinking like, oh, I was going to get an iPad, but, you know, I really use Windows on my main PC. Maybe I'll get this instead.
Right. One thing I really like, it has the built-in hinge, the kickstand, and you see it works at any angle. So that is actually a really nice feature. If you like to draw, having it at the 15-degree angle is a very natural angle. Of course, if you're using it as a computer, you're going to tilt it up a little higher. That's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's really interesting to see Microsoft do it at that price, $499, $550 if you want to get the higher level. I think it's going to be a worthy competitor, not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think Apple will announce new iPads, maybe a new iPad Pro in the fall? I hope so.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Yeah,
this whole thing.
We were very surprised to hear about the new MacBook Pros. Mm-hmm. Because it was only a month ago that Apple had WWDC. I think a lot of people were waiting to buy new Mac Pros until June's WWDC. And then when Apple didn't announce it, they went out and bought laptops. And those people are very perturbed. Mm-hmm. Many of them are out of the 2-week return period, which means they're stuck with the last year's MacBook Pro. They wish Apple had at least said something. Not sure why Apple didn't, but, you know, Apple sometimes waits until they can make these in quantity, whatever. This is going to have all the stuff that I was hoping a new MacBook would have, including the i9 as much as the i9 processor and 32 gigs of RAM. The thing that really is the budget buster on this, they start at $1,700 for the 13-inch model. The thing is the budget buster, though, is the SSD. You can get it with 512 gigs. But they offer, as a build-to-order offer, a 4-terabyte SSD, which will set you back more than $3,000. So, just for the drive. Just for the drive. I also ordered that. I'll be getting that later this week.
So. Who's crazy enough to order that?
Not me. No, I ordered the 2-terabyte, which was expensive enough. But that's going to be interesting. You know what I'm very interested in doing is benchmarking it, comparing it to the iMac Pro, which also started at a fairly high price, $5,000. Yeah. It may be really that the new MacBook Pros are a competitor to the iMac Pro. And if you're a mobile professional, you'll choose the MacBook. If you don't mind staying at a desk, you'll choose the iMac Pro. What's fascinating to me, and I think important for this show, is Apple did not update the low-cost Macintoshes, the MacBook, the MacBook Air, the Mac Mini. Those haven't been updated in a couple of years. And I'm wondering if it's, and we'll talk about it MacBreak Weekly later today, but I'm wondering if this is a signal from Apple that they see the Macintosh as being a line for an expensive, you know, premium computers for professionals and people who need lots of speed, and that everybody else should just use an iPad. Mm-hmm. I think that in the long run, that's going to be Apple's strategy.
I agree. I think that people are going to also move to Windows PCs, cheap Windows laptops.
Well, but that's smart for Microsoft to say, oh, well, we have an option if you want a full operating system.
Right. We got an email from Rowan. He says, I was visiting a specialist a while ago, and he was asking me about my other medications. I showed him my iPhone health app screen with all my meds all listed, and he admired how nicely it was laid out. The doctor is about 70 years old and has an iPhone himself. I said to him, you have this. He was surprised. He took out his iPhone and we opened it up. I showed him how the emergency open feature works on the iPhone, and we spent the next 25 minutes in his office setting up his iPhone health app. There was no one in the waiting room. He is a thoughtful guy who immediately saw the usefulness of the health app, but he had never heard of it. I thought this was really interesting because it is true that for a doctor to be surprised, and I mean, he says he's 70, but I would not be surprised if my 45-year-old doctor also didn't know this. That just that, I mean, even my like 17-year-old nephew a couple years ago, I remember saying, because he ran, we ran a race on Thanksgiving and he had it in his pocket and I was checking my watch to see how far I'd run. And I was like, you have that too. It's in your, you can see how many steps you've taken in your health app. It's just sort of hidden.
I use it all the time. Lisa will say, how many steps did you think we walked today? And I love it that I don't have to manually record that. It's just being recorded all the time on my phone. Yeah, well, let's mention the health app. It comes on all iOS devices now. It comes on the iPad too,
no,
right?
No, I don't think it does.
Oh, it's just on the
iPhones.
Okay.
Yeah.
It makes more sense on the iPhone because you have all those sensors in the iPhone. You don't carry your iPad with you all day long. You could see active energy, resting energy, how many steps I've taken today, walking and running distance, how many hours I've, you know, how many times I've stood. My sleep analysis is even in here, which is kind of amazing. So you tie it into other health devices as well. You can keep your health records in here, which I would recommend because, as you mentioned, as he mentioned, the first responders, and I hope first responders know this, without unlocking your phone, can see your health records. I've been told by first responders that the most important thing for them is not what medications you're allergic to and so forth, but the name and number of your primary contact. Because the first thing they want to do is call that person. But then they will be able to look at your blood type if you're allergic to any medications, things like that. And that is so helpful. So fill that in. Get your health records. Actually, health records is different. This is a new thing. Health records connects you to your, in many cases, to your physician or your hospital, your healthcare provider.
So is that new in iOS 12? Do you
yeah,
think
and they've right? added more, they keep adding more healthcare providers. So I bet you mine, Kaiser, and you're at Kaiser, right?
Yep.
Kaiser Permanente. I bet they're in there, but should we just check and see? Maybe it's not working yet. You see also you can add all these different, like Pokemon Go is a source, which is awesome. I meant to say medical ID, and that I won't show my medical ID because I don't want you to see how ill I am. But this is in there. And one of the things that's in there is organ donor. And that's also important because if they can't resuscitate you, they want to get you to the hospital immediately so that they can get your organs and give them to somebody who can use them.
And you can register for that right on the phone.
Right on the phone. I love the medical ID feature. So, yes, immediately, if you haven't done this yet, go to the health app, explore it. But before you do anything else, fill out medical ID so that if something does happen, the first responders who get to you can get the information they need right away.
I have a gripe with the health app, though, because I went to, after our show last week, I spent two nights in Napa on vacation, and I forgot my Apple Watch charger. I know, which is, first of all, it's super frustrating because I had all the other chargers, but you can't do anything if you forgot your Apple Watch charger. You're out of luck. Unless I'm not out of luck, someone tell me if I'm not. So on the third day, it lasted till the third day, which was great, but on the third day, I went for a run, and I took my phone, and it won't transfer back to the activity app on my watch. So I ran a 3-mile run, and it was as if I had not run at all because it wasn't recorded
in my
rings.
Isn't that awful? And if it's not recorded, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. But I don't know how hard, I mean, how hard would it be to sync the activity from the phone back to the activity on the watch? But it's just one of those things that Apple didn't do. And I felt like it was its fault for not letting me charge this with a lightning cable.
Let me show you this health records. This is iOS 12. So if you press get started, it'll ask you for your location and then suggest locations nearby. These are all the Northern California hospitals, doctors, health insurers that are supported. So if you pick one that is supported, and then it will actually put your records, your medical records, into the phone and let you check them and all that. I think that's great. This is HIPAA compliant. The idea is that those are your medical records, and you should have a copy of those. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. So this is all of California, not Kaiser. Well, maybe there's Kaiser. Let's see if our Kaiser is in there. Kaiser, Northern California. No, only Oregon, Southwest Washington. There may be legal reasons why some providers aren't in there at this point. Kaiser is in Oregon, but not here. I'm not sure why. But that isn't that cool? I think that is a great. That is, and that's something, again, it's in beta, so that's something that as time goes by, I think you're going to see a lot more of that, a lot more providers in there as they agree to that.
We have one more question. Sandy writes, I coordinate multiple events that require sending a group email and have them reply to RSVP. Is there a way to add Outlook voting button style functionality into Mac OS or iOS Mail? So what she did, she's sending out messages, and if you use Outlook, they have the ability, you have the ability to add buttons. So it's just like someone can say yes
except
or no.
Except decline.
And she wants to know, and I actually had sent a follow-up emailer to her saying, you know, why don't you just use invite, like invitations from Apple Calendar?
I think it's the same. I think that there is a standard, ICS, that supports this invite somebody to an event and the accept or not accept. I would be careful about using anything proprietary. So if it may be that, and I don't know, I used to get Outlook invites from an employer, and I couldn't do anything with them because I don't use Microsoft Office and I don't use Outlook, so I couldn't do anything. And they would get upset. Well, you didn't accept or decline. Well, I can't. But I bet you by now Outlook is using a standard. There is a standard. Apple Calendar uses it, the ICS standard. And so when you create an appointment, it should, in the appointment, maybe add it to the calendar, but not unless you accept or decline. So I've seen this over and over again, in both in my mail and in my calendar.
Well, she says she wants to send to use a nice email invitation, like mail stationery, and track who responds.
That's so the problem. You can't do something proprietary because that requires that everybody you're corresponding with has Microsoft Outlook.
Unless you use something like paperless post.
Well, I would just use Evite or some other online solution. I guess paper, is that paperless post?
Yeah. Paperless post is the fancy Evite.
Yeah. So there you go. That actually is kind of nice because that's good for like, wedding showers, things like that. But Evite is a way to do that as well. There are actually a lot of ways to do this, but I would say be careful that you, I'm not sure. The chat room's kind of not clear about whether the voting buttons are the same as invites. Scooter X says they're not. So
voting button would, I mean, one thing you could do.
That sounds like an Outlook specific feature. And do not use, you know, I see this all the time. People sending Microsoft Office docs, right? Microsoft Word doc files. I can open them, but please, you know, don't do that. That's a proprietary standard. You should never assume that the people you're sending stuff to have the same applications you do. Everybody has different environments.
I mean, I think you said iOS or Mail or Mac OS, but I mean, the way I've seen this done a lot is a Google poll. So if that's...
Oh, yeah, you could do that too.
So that's
anything
that's
web-based would be okay. Yeah.
And you don't even need to have a Gmail account, do you, to answer a Google poll? I don't think you do. But everybody has them, don't they?
You think you might need a Google account. And again, if that's the case, don't do it. Because there's people who don't want to have a Google account. You got to respect that.
Yeah.
The people who don't want to use Microsoft Office, you have to respect that.
I would guess that Google would allow you to enter your other email address in there so that they, but I don't know.
The UK government uses PDF files for forms. In fact, so does ours, the IRS. And I would submit that that's not a good thing. That's a proprietary format. I mean, it's better than a lot of choices. It's certainly better than a .doc or .docx. But ideally, you'd use something that was a standard like HTML, and everybody would support it. Evites does that. I'm sure that Paperless Post does that.
Yeah,
that's an interesting question. I'm gonna have to look into that one.
So it's I understand the voting buttons are different than invites, but what she's looking is she wants people to be able to RSVP to her email, and then a way to track that. So, you know, I have this problem with my book club. I'm always trying to introduce new, like, here, let's use this app to plan the next book. Let's use this app to plan our menu. And some people are super excited, and other people are like, Megan, stop it. I can't download another app. I don't want, this is too hard for me. I couldn't do it. So if you're dealing with a big group of people, you're going to find that you don't want to end up like the Megan in your group who's always trying to introduce new technology.
Yeah, I think the voting buttons are an Outlook-specific thing, and I don't think that that's a good choice. You're right. Google does offer those as well. That's a really interesting question. If it's a standard, okay. But if it's an Outlook-specific thing, I wouldn't want you to use it.
I mean, she did say her last email to me said she wants fancy invitations.
Right. Well, that nice paperless email, post would be
like
a good
mail,
choice.
Stationary.
Yeah.
And track who responds, which I think paperless post, it's all web-based. It's not through iOS. I am sure that some of these millions of email, third-party iOS email apps that I've used probably offer something like this, but the ones, I couldn't find it right off the bat. So if anyone has this, an email that has this use case, an email program that has this use case, MeganIntuit.com.
So I think the difference, the vote, when I hear the word voting, you're trying to find a meeting date that everybody can agree on so people can vote for it. I presume more than one time in this, I'm making this up because I don't use Outlook. I actually actively dislike Outlook. If that's the case, there are online web tools that will let you do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Doodle.
It's Doodle one
Doodle,
of them?
Yeah, Doodle poll. That's something I've introduced so you to my book club that they hate.
That's the problem, right? But it's a known issue, right? You got a group of people and you're trying to find a time everybody can agree on. That's a problem, and technology should be able to solve that. But I just say don't solve it in a way that only people who own Microsoft Outlook can do it. Mm-hmm. I Doodle is not specific to any operating system, but does require people have a computer.
Well, presumably if they're getting an email, they have a computer. But yeah, a Doodle is super easy. It's just I think web-based is the best way to do this.
Yes,
so whether it's a Doodle poll or a Google poll.
Doodle.
I think Mac just doesn't, iOS just doesn't have a feature like this.
Well, calendar invites, if you send an invite, it'll show up in their calendar. And that is a standard, but it's not as that, the meeting thing is not. So yeah, Doodle is perfect. I'm not familiar with this. It's free. That is really cool.
That's because we all plan our meetings around you. You don't ever.
Nobody ever asks me, is it okay for you?
Yeah, that's true. No one ever asks your opinion.
Is it okay for you to meet here? No, I just say, I'm not coming. You have your meeting. That's cool. And Doodle does have calendar integration. It's free. Wow, this is actually. Why did the book group not like this?
Because
they didn't want to join Doodle.
Yeah, I think that might have been it.
See, this is the voting thing I was talking about, where you can suggest a number of days, and then people choose the days. And the one that matches everybody is the one you would use. I like that idea. Doodle.com.
Fun to say doodle also.
Wow.
You know what is also fun?
What?
Being able to get a mortgage yeah, on your phone.
Actually, house hunting is fun. A home is a big deal, buying a home. Most of us have to get a loan to buy the home. The loan process is anxious making enough. Why make the house hunting process anxious? But it is these days because interest rates are slowly going up. Actually, not so slowly. And with interest rates rising, as you're hunting, you may say, oh, man, we got to get this house now because I don't want to pay more next month. Well, this is what you want. You want rate shield approval. This is a new thing from our great friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage already is the greatest thing ever. It's an entirely online mortgage approval process. But so they, in the process of doing it, because it's transparent and easy, they take a lot of the anxiety out of house hunting, the house buying. It starts with the power buying process. Quicken Loans verifies your income, assets, and credit in less than 24 hours to give you something you really want, which is called verified approval. Verified approval means you're as good as a cash buyer. You're good for it. So that's really great. When you go in and make an offer to a seller, the seller doesn't have to, you know, if you've got the verified approval and the other person making an offer doesn't, that means the seller is taking a chance on that other person because, you know, will they get the loan? Won't they? They know you've got the loan. You've got verified approval. Once you get that, though, You're qualified for their all new exclusive Rate Shield approval. Oh, this is so great from Rocket Mortgage. First, they lock up your rate for 90 days while you shop, up to 3 months to find that house without any anxiety, because if interest rates go up, yours do not. Your rates are the same. If they go down, they go down. So you win both ways, right? Can't go up, could go down. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's best and largest mortgage lender. You want to get started? Easy. Go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. You can do it on your phone, your desktop, your iPad. Rate shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. We love Rocket Mortgage. Now, you'll love them even more. Rate shield approval. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. We thank them so much for paying for the hats.
Mm-hmm.
The app caps. I'm going to wear my Jane hat today.
Oh.
Because I miss Serenity.
Oh.
Not Caldwell.
Oh. Serenity Now.
Not the Serenity Prayer.
Serenity the TV show.
Serenity
the
TV
movie?
Show.
The TV show.
There was a movie. Now, one was called Serenity.
Serenity was the TV show.
That was the TV show.
Firefly was the movie.
Firefly is the ship, and they made that the movie name. Okay.
Right. Okay.
I liked Serenity. And one of the characters in Serenity, Jane, who was the tough guy with the guns, had a soft spot. His mom would make him these knit caps, and he would wear them and dare anybody to mock him.
I have a woolen cap.
Yours looks good. That mm-hmm. was that's you look like a soccer hooligan.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this
that's
is
a, that's a Kangol.
My World Cup celebrate World Cup being.
And covered. What is with the hats?
What is with the hats? it's really a metaphysical, I would say.
It's a metaphor.
I just wanted to say something besides what I say
it's
every
a
week.
Simile.
It's
simile.
App rhymes with cap, and these are our favorite apps. And cap is another word for hat.
I should probably stop asking that question.
No, you can ask it. I should come up with a better answer. Okay,
we're wearing apps, caps,
we're wearing
to celebrate
apps.
Our app of the week. What is yours, Megan Maroney?
Okay, so we have talked about the Oak Meditation app by Kevin Rose before.
Love that, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. He came up with an update, so I thought it was worth mentioning again.
Oh.
And I've been trying for a really, really long time to regularly
pretty.
Meditate. It is pretty. So I use it on my phone, and I just wanted to show off my stats here.
You're so proud of
I
your meditation.
I started as a grasshopper, but I'm on a current streak of 9. That says 9. I don't know. You can't see that, but I've meditated 40 times.
I've been to that Shinto shrine.
You
by
have?
The way. Yeah.
So that you get badges as you increase. I only need 3 more sessions because I can make anything competitive, even meditating. I've taken 33 breaths, not in my whole life, but on this app. And you can also see who's meditating. So there's 141 people meditating right now. And 8,400 people meditated today. So this is the home, and this is the breath. And let's start the journey over again.
That Shinto gate
look at that.
Is beautiful. It's because when the tide comes, it's in the water.
Did you meditate there?
No, I was there with 1,000 tourists, so I took a picture. But
it matches your hat.
Yeah. It's at Miyajima Island. It's really one of my favorite places in Japan.
Okay, so shall we start the journey?
Yes, let's take a journey.
Let's start the journey. So I'm starting over here on my iPad. I can build healthy habits. Badges are a great way to visualize your progress, this says. And
he's gamified meditation, which I love. That's very Kevin Rose.
Yes. So sounds good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get daily reminders.
Well, he's really, really added to the features
mm-hmm.
of this thing.
Yeah. The reminders are nice. They're not just like, hey, you didn't meditate today. Feel guilty about it. They're a little quote. So yes, please turn those on. And then I have 2 choices. I can meditate or I can breathe. And there are these 3 different types of meditation that I really like. Mindful is the one that's similar to the one that was in the first app. So it's pretty basic. We can go through the settings. So I can only meditate for 10 minutes. I can only
10's plenty.
Turn off the voices in my head for that long. I can choose a female or male instructor.
You can begin by taking a seat.
And that's what he sounds
Take
like.
Take a seat.
And then there's all these background noises. So rain, fireplace. I like Elevate. Do I need to turn up the volume or can you hear that?
No,
there we
I
go.
Hear it and I'm elevated.
That's
right
what
now.
I use, the Elevate sounds. And then I can have a warm-up or no warm-up. I say no warm-up. And then I begin the meditation.
Welcome back. Hmm. You can begin by taking a seat.
Okay.
You can pick your favorite chair or just sit cross-legged on a cushion.
I will.
Let's take a moment to release any unwanted tension.
I'm going to end early. The loving kindness meditation I really like.
Oh, that's
have
nice.
You ever done a loving kindness meditation?
Yeah.
Basically, you give kindness to yourself and to someone that you know and then to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. And then here's the one for experts. Let's go.
You can begin by taking a seat that's and getting comfortable.
Female voice sounds like. Do you like the female or the male?
Mm-mm.
You like the male?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to end early. And then the unguided. This is the one for experts.
Just sit down.
You just, yeah.
It just says, sit down.
But, you know, sometimes your mind wanders off, which is totally okay and normal. And you should think about when you're reminded to get back into your meditation. That's just a way to strengthen yourself. You shouldn't feel bad about yourself when your mind goes crazy like mine does. But you can have an interval bell so that you can choose
like
every 2 minutes.
Tibetan.
Yeah.
Oh,
every 2 minutes,
nice.
A reminder. And so, and
that's
then that's
nice.
Really it. And what I love about this is it's free. There are no ads.
This is pro bono. Kevin just does it because he believes in it, which is really neat.
He made some money and he wants to give back.
Yeah.
And there's no strings attached here at all. And it's only, I guess it's only for iPhone. But if you're listening to this, you're probably using an iPhone. And if you're not listening, if you are listening to this and you're not using an iPhone, thank you for listening.
Why? No, Kevin just thinks that Android's junk and why would anybody want to meditate if they have an Android phone? They clearly don't care about themselves or the world around
them.
That
is not what he thinks.
No, he doesn't.
But it's just so nice of him because he's just like, I want to create this.
Isn't that neat?
That is, it's kind of do I use this paid meditation app or this? I can understand
there's
that.
There's calm.com and there's Headspace, but all of them require money. This one, and it's not as deep. It doesn't go as many, steps into it, but for most people, it's more than enough. And I think there's two things going on. Kevin loves making apps. I mean, that's his love. So it's good. He loves it because he likes to do it, but I think he wants to give back a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice of him. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
My app is also kind of about mindfulness and improving your life. How do you feel about houseplants?
I wish I didn't kill them.
Yes. That's universal, right? But having plants in your home does a lot of things besides purify the air, absorb carbon dioxide. The greenery, the flowers make your broccoli feel so much better. I wouldn't grow broccoli in the house, but there are many, many, many houseplants. And I recently decided I'm going to do a test. I want to have plants in my office. I want to have plants at home. I want to have them all around. I grew up with plants. My mom has a green thumb. I have a brown thumb. So I thought if I could just get one plant and keep it alive for 6 months, then I'll get some more. But I thought there must be that the iPad could help me with this. And I found Kubachi, which is a really nice app. Let me show you. It's for the iPhone. And actually, it makes sense for the iPhone because you might want to carry it around. What you do with Kubachi is you tell it what plants you have. Shall I add some plants?
Yeah.
Okay. You tell it what plants you have. And then, I got to press this. And then, I guess that's different pages. It knows about all kinds of plants. I haven't set this one up. I haven't set up on my phone. So what plant, you know what I want to grow is a pothos. You want a plant that's easy to grow, okay?
Easy?
Pothos is very easy. Okay. People like it. It's a nice plant. It's a green plant. It's going to, it's not on here. Well, it's because it's got some other name. How about a spider plant? That's another easy
they
one.
They are. And then you can like take parts of them and replant them, right?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about a spider plant. You can, so you know about plants.
I've seen people do it.
Yeah.
People have given me part of their spider plant and I've managed to kill that too.
All the information about it, right? Light instructions, very important. When it needs to be watered, things like that. In the settings, you can say, I want to be notified at a certain time. I'm going to say 9:55 a.m. when my plant needs water. And it knows what kinds of plants you have. I'm trying to... there we go. Trying to get a plant in here. I know my plant, or should I search? I can use the plant finder, select multiple answers, that kind of thing. So it'll help you if you say, well, I like that plant.
do we want the, what kind of plant do we want? Do we want the leaves in soil? Do we want world? Do we want opposite? So this is actually for a plant categorization. If you like, you're looking at a plant, say, I like that plant. What is that plant? So it's asking you some questions, and then it will say, oh, I think this plant is a bell pepper. Okay. That's a bell pepper. I'm gonna grow a bell pepper. I can nickname it. I'm going to name it Louie. Louie the bell pepper. The plant is indoors. Yep. Indoors. Okay. And I'm going to say it's in my office. Louie the bell pepper is in my office. Now, I've added Louie. Okay. And I can also say, if I have a plant sensor, this is the moisture sensor in there. I'm going to get those because I don't trust myself. I can also indicate when, you know, I can get some care advice. Notice pending task glows red. So that's the sensor needs calibration. Do I need to mist Louie? No, it says I don't need to, but I do need fertilizer in 4 weeks. So this presumes I just planted Louie, right? If you had sensors, it could tell you it's too cold, it's getting too much shade. It will tell you when to water, give you notifications. So you can have a bunch of plants on here. And this will say every morning you should water Louie, you should water Joey, and you should water Megan. I named a plant after you. I hope you don't mind.
I love it.
I was looking for a way. Here's the magic plant finder. I was looking for a way to help me. Spurge is fun. Everybody likes a little spurge in their life, right?
How do you know if it grows well here, or do all houseplants grow well
anywhere? Well, yeah, if they're outdoor plants, then the climate is much more important. But they will tell you things like the temperature range. So it wants it always to be around 22 degrees centigrade, which is perfect for the home. It will tell you how much water it needs, how hardy it is. It can go down to minus one, so it's a very hardy plant. So all of this stuff is very useful to know ahead of time. You don't want to have a plant that's hard to grow. And actually, I went out and I got a few books that also indicate which plants are good plants for starter plants. I like ferns myself, so I want to plant a fern.
Where did this fascination with plants come from all of a sudden?
I just felt there was something missing in my life.
Oh.
No, I was just, I don't know where it came from. I just, it hit me. I miss not having plants around. Don't you?
I do.
Yeah. I think this is normal. And we always have the same reaction, which is, yeah, but I'll just kill them.
Yeah.
And partly that's because most of the time when we get plants, it's because somebody brought us a plant.
Uh-huh.
We don't know anything about it. We don't know how to keep it alive. 6 months later, it's dead. So I think an orderly plan to pick plants that are easy to grow, to use an app. This is, I think, a great app to make sure that you do water it, but not too much,
yeah,
or not too little. Yeah, that could be. Here's the famous ficus. Can't kill it. But see, the ficus wants to be kept continuously moist. They're plants like ferns want to be moist. You want to mist ferns. In fact, ferns are great for the bathroom because they. But this is the kind of thing you learn. So you're going to want to mist that ficus every 7 days. This is the plant fertilizer, and it tells you how often to do it. You also want to know, this is a big one, if it's toxic to animals, because you have dogs, we have cats. So don't plant stuff that if the dog eats the leaf, it's going to be bad for him. So all of this is really, really quite helpful. Ginseng.
Have you seen those air plants that just kind of sit? And they don't sit in water.
Yeah, I think that's a black diamond plant. I'm going to wait until I get
those.
A plant in dirt better.
Yeah.
You know, that's... So I'm going to do a spider plant. I'm going to do a pothos. I might do a fern. It's really fun. A creeping fig. These are great plants. What I want to do on the windowsill in my office, there's plants... Oh, I grew up with Schefflera. I love Schefflera. That's a beautiful plant. There's plants that I think will be perfect for my windowsill. So I'm gonna we're gonna try this. I'll report back.
Okay.
But this is a great tool. Kubachi. Notice I already have a notification. It's time to water Louie.
It's time to water. I think it's time to water Megan too.
Time to water Megan, time to water Louie, time to water me. Here's one tip, something I learned last night. Don't give gin and tonics to plants. They don't like it.
Did you try that?
No.
Oh.
I'm not stupid.
I have a little device too that a company sent me that I haven't gotten to work, but you might be.
Oh, give it to me. I'll put.
It's a little thing that a sensor that you put in there.
Yeah. That's what I need. And this ties into those sensors, right?
Good. Yeah.
So this if it's a Bluetooth sensor or whatever, I can integrate it. Oh, here's weather integration. If you have an outdoor, only available sensor monitoring a plant to find is outdoor. And there's all sorts of really, really cool things in this.
Yeah.
I guess if I register it, I can then have it. I should have done that so I could copy it from my phone to here so I can have all my plants.
Okay,
here.
I'm going to give you the grow sensor because it kept telling me to water the plant and I just didn't believe it. Okay, time to water both of us, I think. And by that, I mean it's time to say goodbye.
Thank you so much for being here. We do iOS today, you know, sometime Tuesdays, whenever Leo gets here. Supposed to be at 9 a.m. I was a little late today. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That'd be 1600 UTC. Sometime between then and now.
Gin and tonic time, we call it.
Yeah, G&T time. If you want to watch live, go to twit.tv/live. We have live audio, live video. You can participate in the chat room while you're watching live. That's always fun at irc.twit.tv. And if you can't be here live, you can always go on demand. Everything we do is on demand. In this case, download an episode from twit.tv/iOS or look for iOS today in your favorite podcatcher like Pocket Casts. You can listen to it on your Amazon Echo. If you get an Echo on Prime Day, just say, Echo, listen to iOS today, and you'll get the most recent episode. Lots of ways to listen, but we hope you do each and every week. Thank you for being here. How can they get a hold of us? Send us a question or maybe a video.
Megan at twit.tv. Get a hold of me that way.
Easy enough.
Yeah, tell me you want to send me a video or send me the YouTube link or find me on Twitter, Megan Maroney.
Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on iOS Today.